Real people.
Real celebrities.
Real talk.
Join the Breakfast Club.
Blast off in your
weekday morning, 6 to 10.
Yep, Charlamagne Tha God here, Angela Yee. We are the Breakfast Club. We got some special guests in the building. I don't want to say that. Envy always says that.
Yeah.
I got my folks in the building.
There you go.
My man, my son. What's going on? You know what I'm saying? In the Justice League.
And we're talking about the March to Justice. All right, so let's get into what that is.
This is actually right on time. We just had another cop.
Crazy.
Killer unarmed black man in South Carolina.
Being charged with murder now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. At least he got charged, though. So this is right on time. What is the march about?
So the March to Justice is an initiative, of the Justice League, where we'll be walking from New York City beginning April 13th to Washington, D.C., over 8 days, staying at churches and community centers and colleges along the route, registering voters and connecting with organizers and young people, particularly on the road, to deal with the issue of police accountability and looking at criminal justice reform in general. When we get to Washington, D.C., we'll be delivering something called the Justice Package that has three pieces of federal legislation in it that deal with the criminalization of our communities, ending the militarization of law enforcement. When you look at what's happening in Ferguson, every time any issue jumps off there, the police come in with tanks and all types of heavy artillery to deal with people, humans.
Absolutely.
Acting like we're in Iraq. And then there's the Juvenile Justice Delinquency Prevention Act. There's a lot of people who want to talk about gun violence and all of that, which is certainly an issue. But the young people in our communities have not been invested in. They've been taking more and more community centers and all the things that young people need to be whole out of the community, yet they want the kids somehow to survive and be the best that they can be. Mm-hmm. So when we get to D.C., we're asking Congress to do things. But the reason why we're walking all through all of these cities is because our people have to do something as well. We can't just wait on Congress. We have a responsibility to be involved in the issue. So 8 days, April 13th, we need people to support us. Mm-hmm. Donations are necessary, and you can find us on March2justice.com.
What are some of the things that's outlined that we're asking for specifically when you get to D.C.?
So we're going to be meeting with Congress, and I think oftentimes we do work and we organize around in our local communities, but we're going to be asking them to actually support these three bills. And one of the ones that Tamika left out is ending racial profiling. And so we know that these three bills, some of them need to be introduced. Some of them also need bipartisan support, but they also need to sign on themselves to really elevate our communities at this moment, especially with all these police killings and also the disproportionate amount of black and Latinos in the incarceration system.
Now, Mice, what are you doing here? You're an ex-felon. You're a rapper. Rappers don't get involved in this kind of stuff.
And that's exactly the myth that I wanted to, to dispel. I think that as a rapper coming from these communities, this is our fight. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We grew up in this. We grew up in police brutality. We grew up in violence and negativity and watching us being racially profiled. And if, as an artist, being able to see that and being able to articulate having a fan base and knowing these things, if we don't utilize our gifts to fight against the injustices that we've suffered, then our kids are doomed to have the same thing. So it's like, why I'm going to sit here and rap and I'm talking about reality, and the reality is that we getting killed.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The reality is that the kids don't have parks and they don't have community centers like they did when we were growing up. They don't have the boxing. They don't have the somebody to take them off and give them a different path. So when we take these things out of our neighborhoods and out of our communities, all we do is give them a road to prison. And this is the reality of the situation. So as an artist, it was when I seen Mike Brown killed, when I seen Eric Garner being choked in the middle of the street, and it was like, this is here, this is now. You know what I'm saying? Like, we watched Martin Luther King march, and we seen Malcolm X, and this is our struggle. So if none of us don't step up to the plate to fight for it, then what are we saying?
In a lot of these cases, these cops, kill people, and they still keep their job. Mm-hmm. They don't get charged. They still have a job. Mm-hmm. They might get suspended for a minute, and then they're back at work.
Well, when you look at what happened with Walter Scott, he had lied. This happened Saturday. This is the police officer that shot the young man on Saturday in the back 8 times in South Carolina.
Yes, sir.
If it had not been for a video in that particular case, we would not have seen any of this happen. He put that taser down, we believe, next to Walter Scott's body on purpose to be able to prove some, or to at least lie about his lie that there was an altercation and that the taser was a part of it. And so if we didn't have a video there, what would you say? Like, what
Absolutely.
Would you be saying?
They would have said, like, the cop was right because right. he was doing what he was supposed to do. Right.
It makes you think about the Darren Wilson case.
Right. And there's no real video that shows you mm-hmm. what happened in that case. But even with Eric Garner, we saw a video. We know that this man was choked to death and that it was illegal and it was wrong.
He couldn't breathe.
He couldn't breathe. But so that's why people have to stay vigilant. That's why we're marching. That's why we keep movements alive. Because what happens is we get comfortable and say, oh, we know they're going to take care of that. And then you don't get an indictment. You get an indictment, but you don't get an actual conviction.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So this police officer, just because he's been indicted for murder, doesn't mean that they're not going to come up with the trick bag of excuses, because you don't get to see what happens mm-hmm. before the shooting. Mm-hmm. You know?
Why do you think there's a lack of leadership, not just in the hood, but in, like, hip-hop culture? Like, people that, like you were just saying, people who could have influence choose not to be leaders.
I think because the focus is wrong. I think when we started doing hip-hop, it was about artistry. It was about a level of expression. It was about being able to communicate something different than everybody else was. It's about showing your views. And I think now the focus is just about money and what you have.
Mm-hmm.
So the artists that we have today, they don't even have the knowledge or the conscience to even be able to focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even, most of them don't even have, their vocabulary is so limited that they can't even articulate these things. So they shy away from that. You know, you've heard certain artists get up there and be like, yeah, all right, yeah, whatever. I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about money. Yeah, I heard about Eric Garner doing all that, but yeah, we ain't talking about, we get money over here. Like, that is the mind state that they've put these people in.
All right.
So it's like, you can't expect somebody that knows, doesn't have any knowledge or even have the ability to articulate something to give you anything meaningful. And that's why I'm happy to see Kendrick and you see the J. Cole's and you see them starting to get mm-hmm. some light, because they're actually focusing on social issues and social and real issues that we are being plagued with in our neighborhoods and our communities.
And oftentimes those that own the label don't necessarily want that type of controversy, mm-hmm. right? So people aren't necessarily willing to sacrifice money or any type of relationship because of that. The founder of our organization is Harry Belafonte.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk about Dr. King, he was really able to elevate Dr. King's platform based on his own platform. He came out, he talked to, you know, the Kennedys, he brought King along. And that's why when we built Justice League, it was important for us to have artists in the space to be able to amplify our message to communities that maybe we don't necessarily reach.
I think that label thing is a cop-out, too, because, I mean, mm-hmm. we saw Public Enemy, we saw right. Poor Righteous Teachers, KRS-One. They had songs like Self-Destruction, all in the same gang. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's up to the artist to make that kind of music.
That's but right. then the question is, where are they now? See, that's what they worry about. As mm-hmm. an artist, they recognize, if just move out of artistry and look at Michael Jordan, for example.
Mm-hmm.
He makes billions of dollars off of us, and people pay him to stay away from our community. He'll tell you quick, I don't do that Black Lives Matter stuff. That's not what he's into. And so even though it's, you can, you know, Public Enemy, all these people did what they did, but where are they now? That's the question. Yes, for us, it's a legacy, but they don't have the multi-millions of dollars that are paid to people who they really pay to stay disconnected from our
and
community.
Silenced.
Yeah.
And silenced. Right.
Damn. No, I'm thinking about it. I wonder, would I stay out the hood for millions of dollars?
Mm-hmm.
You stay out the hood now for
I do, absolutely. Now, what about for people who say marches aren't effective, marches don't help anything?
So for us, I think it's very different. We have three pieces of federal legislation. We have policy that we're marching with. And I think, you know, we're putting 250 miles on our bodies. We start April 13th. Mm-hmm. We're going to be stepping off in Staten Island. And for us, that's symbolic. But we know right now at this moment that people are dying. Every 28 hours, a Black person is being killed at the hands of police. And so for us, we're willing to risk ourselves, our bodies, to make a real statement. And so I think for some of the things that we've done differently or we've used some of the methodologies from the past, but we're adding our own flavor. And that's for us to protest with a purpose and to march with a purpose. And
how
that's
many people
what
have signed up so far?
So far, we have what are called Justice Champions, and we have 100 people that are going to be marching from New York to D.C., and we're going to be actually gathering other folks along the way in the key cities that we stop in.
Now, what's some of the biggest obstacles y'all are facing?
We need money.
Money.
Yeah, we need money. No,
we need y'all to donate right now. Go to marchofjustice.com and donate to our crowd rise. every dollar counts. Is, you know, that's what it is about. We marching. We not getting paid. All of us are volunteers.
Everybody's
volunteer. And I'm sure you're documenting all of this.
Yes,
as well.
We are. Brother Ramin is here right now documenting all of our efforts. But we do need money. Listen, freedom ain't free. You know, no movement. We talk about Harry B. One of the things that Karn, listen, she said I left out something. One of the things she left out was that Harry B. funded Dr. King. Like, mm-hmm. he paid for his homes and made sure that Dr. King had what he needs. And there, we right now, we don't have anywhere to stay in Baltimore, but we're walking and we might have to stay outside. But if people know of churches in the Baltimore area, we need that. We need water. We have to eat every day. And at the end of the day, if you say marches don't matter, then why the heck did people turn out in the streets after the Eric Garner verdict and also in Ferguson? If people didn't hit the street, no one would know that the issue is there. Marches don't change things. Marches shine a light on an issue.
PR,
yes.
And you get in the media.
That's right.
That's right.
To bring light to these issues.
Now, are y'all gonna use this money to buy Jordans to walk in?
No, we work. We all have real jobs and we work. Yeah.
We got special shoes that we gotta walk in.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know.
And they actually cost us a lot of money, but we really, every single person in the Justice League is a volunteer. There are 25 of us that are the core group of organizers. We work 24 hours a day plus our regular jobs, and we take our personal money and put it into the work. But that's not, I don't think that that's a model that we need to, people need to be okay with. Mm-hmm. Folks should be able to eat if they're going to do the work of the people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mice, you know people going to watch this video and they're going to be like, Mice up here talking all of this, but he was charged with 2 counts of armed robbery.
And that's and the reality of the situation. We can have that conversation because I've always maintained my innocence throughout that situation. But that's also what I love about the Justice League is that they invite you, no matter what your past is, whatever it is, because you have a level of knowledge that you can bring into this space,
right,
that you can educate someone else with. If I had been a criminal and I changed my life around and I'm giving somebody else a different perspective or letting these youth know, look, I've been through what you've been through and I know where the road is to that.
That's,
you understand what I'm saying?
Too.
That's very important. That's amazing, because I never listened to, when the preacher came out of the church and said, do all this, I didn't listen to him. I talked to the ex-drug dealers that wanted to see me do better is the one who I modeled myself at.
But, you know, so, I think another thing that's really important that my son needs to talk about is the fact that Justice League is not a pop-up operation. Like, he's been in the detention centers with the Justice League prior to Eric Garner even happening.
Right. We have programming and detention centers under the Gathering for Justice. And so my son, myself, and folks like Immortal Technique go in there and offer young people hope and use music, film, critical thinking as a tool for transformation and helping young people get back into society, have actually a feeling of a sense of self, right, and loving themselves, because oftentimes when we look at violence, we're killing each other, and it's because there's so much hate that has been perpetuated in our communities that we begin to think that we're not worth anything. And so he's done this work along with us, and what he says, I think those that are most impacted by this issue also need to be a part of the solution.
All right. And people, like even in my son's case, people forget Malcolm X was once Malcolm Little.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's the bottom line. Like, we have to be able to educate our own. We have to be able to take care of our own. You know, like, I have a different background than a lot of these people have been in this space for 15, 16 years. But I always had the mind state and I always had the will and the heart to want to see change and want to see growth and want more for my people. So when I was embraced by the Justice League, you know, it was like, I was happy. I was able to do something. I was able to give something back to the community. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's all about. It's about taking care of our own.
You once said that rappers use guns as a source of entertainment. Why do you think that is?
Because for some reason, people are attracted to negativity. I don't know why. I don't know why you can go on any website and you show Sharkeesha has more views than a black man graduating from college who has done all types of things. I don't know why people are attracted to that, but it's the reality. Mm-hmm. So when, as an intelligent individual who's trying to survive, you know, we focus on what it is that people are attracted to. I just made a song called Ain't No Love in Hip Hop, in which I state basically, you know, the artist who comes with his pain and his heart, they don't pay attention to, but somebody shoots up a block and then he put it on Worldstar and then he throws a rhyme behind it, he's the next biggest artist.
That's a good point. Like, When you see somebody, like you see us committing violence online, like he said, somebody shoot up the block, it's nothing. But then when a cop does it to one of us, then it's World War III, and that's when we start marching, and that's when we start caring. Why do you think that is?
Because I think for me it is, that kid that shoots up the block, he's been educated wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He's been educated wrong. this police officer has sworn a duty to protect me.
Mm-hmm. He's getting paid by us to protect us.
Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, you can't hold accountable a child who doesn't know no better, who's been taught that violence is the answer to someone who's been sworn, who's been taught, who's been sworn, who's getting paid to protect and go against all those principles. It's two different. You hold them to two high standards.
And you can do it at the same time.
Let me say one thing. And it's also, when we kill and shoot ours, we go to jail.
Right.
Absolutely.
Bottom line, it's no nothing. But when they kill and shoot us, there's no accountability. You don't even get an indictment.
Except for in South Carolina.
Except for that.
It goes down.
They have no choice now.
They have an indictment, but he still hasn't been prosecuted. So we'll have to see what's going on.
How many indictments they get, and then next thing you know, you don't hear about it. You just see a little thing across the street. Officer has been not convicted. He's been cleared of all charges. You know, and that's how it happens. They're already trying to tell you about this guy's background, right?
They're already trying to tell you he didn't pay his child support. He was trying to get away, all of that. So they're already starting. He smoked
weed in high school. They're going to tell you all
that. There's no reason to shoot somebody in the back. I don't give a damn. No,
they're going
to
have a reason, though.
Have you guys gotten any resistance for this march as far as, you know, police department or anything?
Yeah, right now we're having a problem with Staten Island. They're telling us they don't want us to go across particular bridges. They want us to drive. We're trying to walk. So we may be in jail on Monday before we even start the march. Yeah, and there are other towns, because we're going through some towns with folk that don't look like us walking. And, you know, we are receiving resistance. But what hurts more than that is the resistance that we've been receiving from other organizers that are in the space, people who just don't want to march, work with us for whatever reason, and are using the fact that some of us are connected to other people that they don't like as a reason for us not to stand together about justice. So, you know, and that's always been the issue. When I look at why we haven't been able, I've been in this space for 16 years. I worked for Reverend Al Sharpton for 14 years of my career. I was his executive director for 4 years. And there are many people, I don't like Sharpton, I don't like his hair, I don't like this, I don't like that. But we come together to fight for a common goal. And somehow we allow personalities to get in the way of us being able to do stuff. But all it is a cop-out. It's a cop-out because we don't want to do real work. People don't want to actually get down dirty and do the real work, because we're sleeping on the floor in churches 250 miles. And I like to call myself the diva of the movement. Like, I like to be cute and do all that. I ain't got time to be sleeping on the floor. But I got a 16-year-old son at home, so I'm going to sleep on the floor so that he can walk.
Damn right.
But, you know, I also want to add something to that. Tamika brings up a great point, is the fact that we're not necessarily focusing on why we're... Other people aren't necessarily focusing on why we're marching. Mm-hmm. There's a man that was killed this past weekend, and we're marching for him. Mm-hmm. We're marching for all the people who have lost their lives to police brutality, and the children and the men and women that are locked up in our prisons in America who can't march with us because they're locked up. But at the end of the day, one of the things that Mr. Belafonte, who's my mentor and boss, says, you know, There's a quote that he shared with me recently, and he says, you know, those that are working for the liberation of our people are only a target for friendship and support. Those that are trying to create a divisive narrative are only playing the enemy's game. And so I think we really need to think about that. And so I'm learning a lot through working with Tamika, who I find to be an amazing young woman, and my son, and all the people within Justice League. And for us, we're keeping our eyes on the prize, and that's to create the beloved community that Dr. King talked about.
And y'all don't stay in hotels when y'all march?
Nah, we're staying in churches,
community centers, and maybe outside in Maryland, y'all.
We need some support.
At the end of the day, it's gonna be hundreds of us marching. So we gotta be there with the people. We gotta show the sacrifice. We can't just say we're gonna go to the hotel and we see y'all sleeping. Like, at the end of the day, we gotta figure it out, and we just gotta march, and we just gotta continue to do what we gotta do.
And when y'all get to where y'all going, DC, what are y'all gonna do there?
We sleep in another church, and then the next day on the 22nd we get up and
shower, shampoo, and shine, right? And we put
together?
Our suits on.
None of that. Y'all know my son has a wife, and her name is Angelique Glennon, and she ain't with it.
So no, we're gonna be, you know, having meeting congressional visits. We're gonna have informational sessions with Congress and let them know about the three pieces of federal legislation. We've already done some of that organizing work. Mm-hmm. Pre-organizing work last Wednesday, where we met with the different congressional caucuses. But we're going to be suiting up. On the 21st, we're going to have a rally, as well as, you know, some performances. Anybody who wants to join us in D.C. and perform, perform, show up, show some support, come meet us. And you could always find more information on march2justice.com. And so the route will be available to folks, and also our CrowdRise campaign. Give to us.
Give.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want people to meet y'all on the way, or meet y'all at the starting point.
Whatever you can do.
Got you.
The starting point is in Staten Island. Staten Island, we're leaving in Staten Island out of the Metro, what is it? Richmond Valley Metro Station. Richmond Valley Metro Station on Amboy Street. That's where we're leaving from. We'll be gathering at that point at 9 a.m. on Monday morning. But if you can't be there because you have to work, the next place to meet us is in Newark at the Willing Heart Community Center. We'll be staying there overnight and rallying. That's at 7 o'clock in Newark, New Jersey, 55 Martin Luther King Boulevard, Willing Heart Community Center.
And that's march2justice2.com.
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's everything, because I want to make sure people donate this bread.
We need y'all to donate. Make sure y'all donate. And we want to say happy birthday to one of our Justice League members, Carlene.
It's happy birthday, Carlene.
But we definitely need y'all to donate. Every dollar counts. If you can't march with us, walk to work one day. You know, sacrifice anything. Anything counts for us.
And so also
donate.
And follow us on Twitter. We're NY Justice League. We're also, we have a CrowdRise campaign, www.crowdrise.com/march2justice. So there's different ways in which people could get involved. And we appreciate y'all for having us, too.
So y'all going to be... Charlamagne's going to donate to my CrowdRise as soon as we get off.
I am. No, I absolutely am. My son's my guy. I've been my guy for a long time.
Man.
Very thorough dude.
Appreciate it.
Always standing up for what's right.
Always.
You know, so I'm absolutely going to donate.
All right.
Appreciate it.
So, march2justice.com.
Yes.
All right. Thank you all for joining us. April 13th is the march, y'all. My son in the Justice League.
Yeah.